When it came time to do the wine and for whatever purposes it was, they had a what they call a wine fat, had a drain in it, and someone would get in there and take their shoes off and roll up their pant legs, and they would tread the wine fat. They would smash the grapes, and they'd get in there, and they'd stomp around and smash all the juice out of the grapes, and it would run into the jar. And so we're going to be a little more authentic this morning. The only problem is, when I checked with them, neither one of them tread the wine fat. They used a little crusher and got it out. So that might give you some peace of mind, I don't know. But I'm sure they would have washed their feet before they started. But anyway, Brother Jesse and them have donated the grape juice today for communion. And it's some of their first fruits from their garden. Let's ask God's blessing this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You would bless the message. I pray that You would speak to us, mature us, equip us, and arm us. Help us to be a little wiser when we leave today and a little better equipped and more useful. Father, we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your Word that teaches us so many things that we need in this life. I pray that we would heed it and be changed by it. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go off some of the things we've discussed in Sunday school this morning and turn to Esther chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read a couple other verses. In in Daniel, we talked about the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. In Daniel 6:8, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." In Daniel 6:12, we find this was the decree about Daniel, about people only praying to the king. "Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Well, then they told him about Daniel, and he was grieved, upset at himself. But then in verse 15, "Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." You can't change this. You can't get out of this. I hope your windows are rolled up out there. The law of the Medes and the Persians does not allow the king to change a decree that he has established. In Esther 1:19 we find, when Vashti had upset the king, they said, "If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she." Now, turn to Esther chapter 3. And in Esther chapter 3, we find that Haman sees here that Mordecai doesn't bow. And he gets the king to sign a decree in verse 9. "If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it unto the king's treasuries." And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, "The silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee." And so the king made a decree, and they sent it out all over the land. And it was established. It was according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Now, there's a lot of things in life like this, things that cannot be changed. Turn to Esther chapter 8. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took of his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears, to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king, and said, If it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his sight, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which were in all the king's province. For how can I endure to see the evil that should come upon my people, or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him have they hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. We can't reverse what has been done. But we can add to it. We can do something else. There's many things in life that we must deal with that are just like this, that no man may reverse. Things that once done cannot be altered. The decrees of God. If you look in Genesis chapter 3, you'll find that God made some decrees there that may not be altered. In Genesis chapter 3, we find, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee, that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. Above all cattle and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. There is a law that cannot be altered. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That decree was made and could not be altered. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. There's a decree that cannot be changed or altered. No man may reverse it. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Those decrees of God were much more stable than any decrees of the Medes and the Persians. These decrees could not be altered. No man could reverse it. There's a lot of things in life today that people like to say, well, if there's a God, why is there so much suffering in the world? And why this? Well, that God made decrees that no man can reverse. And God made those decrees, and He will not reverse them. He will not change them. And we are living in the consequences of them. Hebrews 9:27 says, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. That is something that cannot be reversed. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned. According to the law of God, which altereth not. Man's age was shortened after the flood. And as hard as they try, they can't change that. God chose to speak through prophets at Sinai. Because the people requested that. He said, okay, we'll do that. And that's the way it's been. God chose to put Israel under a king due to their complaining. And that has not changed. God's people have been under human government and a king ever since. God made a new covenant and included the Gentiles. And no man may reverse it. You can't go back to Judaism. You can't go back to what it was before. God has made a change. God has made a decree. God's conditions and commands are set. The faith once delivered cannot be changed or reversed or altered. The narrow way cannot be broadened. The Word of God cannot be interpreted away. And as much as people buck and rear and resist, they cannot change the fact that we are living under the decrees that cannot be altered. You can fly in the face of God and say, I don't believe in God because if there was a God, there wouldn't be all this suffering. Well, God has told you why there's all this suffering. God has told you what happened that caused sin, that caused death, that caused sorrow, that caused the weeds and the thorns and all the trials and problems of this earth and this life. Why we have to earn our living by the sweat of our brow until we return to the dust. Why? God has established that. According to the law of God that altereth not. According to the decrees of God that cannot be changed. And man doesn't want to accept that. They want to try to say there is no God, or He's not just, or He's not fair. Or, it can't be the God that you want to believe in because of this and this and this. No. God explains to us exactly why things are the way they are. All the answers are in His Word. Well, there's some other things that no man may reverse in life. Your lot in life. There's a lot of unchangeables. Your genetics. Who your father and mother were. Your family and your raising. You can't change that. You can't reverse it. Your race. Your native country. Maybe you were born with handicaps, or maybe you obtained handicaps. Think about Mephibosheth. He didn't do anything to earn or deserve what his situation ended up being there, a cripple. But there were things that happened that no man could reverse. The past. Past failures and mistakes. There's nothing you can do about it. It's done. It's gone. It's already been, what's said has been said. What's done has been done. Your past sin has been sinned. The trespass has been made. The natural consequences follow. David could repent, but he couldn't stop the natural consequences of sin. You can't stop the law of sowing and reaping. Once you've sown, there's going to be a reaping. And no man may reverse it. Once you're born, it cannot be undone. Once someone dies, we cannot bring them back. Past words, past deeds. Once you get married, you're married. You made a decision. You can never push undo like I like to do on the computer. I push a button and something happens like, what did I do? I don't know how to change this, and I'm glad that little button there says undo. And all of a sudden it goes back to where it was. See, I don't know what I did. But I'm glad I could undo it. Amen? Life's not that way. You go out and you rebel against your parents and you marry someone for the wrong reasons and not in the will of God, you're married.
Right.
And you can divorce and you can be unfaithful or you can do whatever, but you still got married, you're still responsible there, and you're still accountable there.
Right.
There's been things, I'm sure, that you went out and you purchased. And sometimes you can take it back. But sometimes you purchase something and it's like, okay, I got it. I got to do something with it. I got to eat it. I've got to figure out a way to make this productive. I can't undo this. Maybe you've sold something and later regretted selling it or threw it away or burned it and then needed it the next day. There's many things in life that are just like the laws of the Medes and the Persians that no man may reverse. It's done. You can't erase it. You can't hit backspace. You can't hit edit. You can't hit undo. It's a reason why things are the way they are in the world right now. God is not going to go and reverse that which He has decreed. You're going to live, earn your living by the sweat of your brow. You're going to, the earth is going to bring forth weeds until you return to dust. That's the way it's going to be. Now, is there no hope? Are we ruined? What is our hope in life? If all these things, if our sins and our mistakes and even our past damages. You know, God didn't keep Cain from killing Abel. God never said that He would come down and keep everybody. No, you don't do that. You stop that. And God never obligated Himself to that. People damage people all the time. There's crime, there's theft, there's murder, there's abuse of every sort in the world. And these things are happening, and once they're done, they can't be reversed. You go out and kill somebody. You did it. It's done. You make mistakes in life that damage people and hurt people. Once it's done, it's done. It cannot be taken back. It cannot be undone. So what is our hope in life? Number one, not to undo the past or change it. There's no hope of that.
Right.
Let it go. You're not going to change it. You're not going to undo it. That's not God. God is not going to help you undo the past or change it. It altereth not. No man may reverse it. But in chapter 8 here of Esther, we have a little glimpse as a type. Haman is a type of Satan, our enemy or adversary. And Mordecai and Esther, what they do is a type of what Christ has done for us. And in chapter 8, and verse 8, we read, because Haman had written the decrees that could not be changed, they could not be reversed, they could not be blotted out, they could not be undone, he said, write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and seal with the king's ring may no man reverse. So what had been done could not be reversed, but we can do something else here that also cannot be reversed. And he goes on down. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants, and the deputies, and rulers of the provinces, which were from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, and sealed with the king's ring, and sent letters by post on horseback, and riders on mules, and camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together, and to stand for their life, to destroy and to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them. both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey, upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. The copy of the writing for the commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post that rode upon the mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Satan, our enemy, our adversary, has caused to happen in the Garden of Eden and other places some things that we can't reverse. They can't be undone. The judgment is set. We can't undo what Adam did, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, now we can stand and fight.
That's right.
We can arm ourselves, and we can conquer that which has been decreed against us, which is unchangeable. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Satan usurped the position that Adam had. Satan beguiled Adam and Eve and stole a position that was not his. He is the prince and power of the air. He is the God, little g, of this world. He is the one who has gained authority. And when Jesus came, he said to Jesus, all these things will I give you because they are delivered to me. And to whomever I give them, I give them. And Satan had great power and authority. But because Jesus came and died and rose again, He took away the keys of death and of hell away from Satan. And He has made it to where we have the power, we have the light, and we have the decree of the King that we can stand and we can arm ourselves and we can avenge ourselves and we can overcome everything.
Amen.
That was against us that could not be reversed.
That's right.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They have a decree that they can destroy us. They have been given permission to attack us and to spoil us. But we've also been given a decree. We've also been given license to stand for our life, to arm ourselves, to gather together, and to defend ourselves. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What has been done in the garden, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Now in the garden He said, if you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And that was true. And that could not be reversed. And that could not be altered. But another decree was made on the cross, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wrote another decree, which allowed us to escape from the destruction of the first decree. What about your lot in life? You say, well, but I was born blind, or I was born crippled, or I got this disease, or you know, there's a genetic flaw, or maybe I'm consider Lazarus. Due to no sin of his own, lay at the man's gate full of sores. He had terrible health. We don't know exactly what happened to him. It seems that his whole life was that way. Abraham said in his life he received evil things, harm. His whole life was a wretched existence. hoping to get some crumbs from the rich man's table. Well, if there's a God, then why does He allow that? Because God's decrees are unalterable. Somebody made a decision, and there was a decree made, and that decree cannot be altered, and all the descendants live with the consequences of that decree. The decrees in the garden that sin came in, and therefore death came in with sin, and all the disease and suffering and all that's going on, genetic breakdown, the disintegration of health is part of that death manifesting itself on the human race.
Right.
And God's not going to go back and undo. He's not that kind of God. His decrees are unalterable. But what did Lazarus also find out? This life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanisheth away. And Lazarus learned that there was another decree made that if you keep your heart right with God, if you walk with God, if you humble yourself, if you repent of sin, that there is atonement that can be made, there's pardon that can be given, that that relationship can be restored through the atonement of Christ, through the blood of the sacrificial Lamb of God, and Lazarus, through the sacrifices in Israel, through the Word of God, he could have faith in that, faith in the salvation of God, and he learned that there was another decree made that would deliver him eternally from the effects of the first decree.
Yeah. Glory.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Your lot in life becomes minuscule. Your lot in life, whether great or small, or sick or healthy, or whatever the case might be, maybe you were born in a poor family, maybe you're born in a rich family. There's dangers both places. Maybe you were born with in a home where they taught you about that God was Allah, or maybe they ingrained Catholicism into you. Whatever your lot in life, however you were raised, no, you can't go back and change it. You can't undo it. You can't undo the failures. You can't undo the past. You can't undo the problems. You can't undo the damage that's been done to you. But you know there's another decree made that allows you to rise up by the grace of God, to arm yourself with God's armor, to fight a good fight of faith, to finish your course, and receive a crown of eternal life. Turn to Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, or that means the Jews, the Judaism, the circumcision. For we, Christians, are the true circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh or the outward formalities. Though I might also give confidence in the flesh, have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now here's his lot in life. He shares it with us. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. All those things could have sent him to hell. That was his raising. That was his lot in life. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I don't care what your lot in life is. I don't care whether it's richer or poor, whether it's famous or unknown. I don't care whether you've been in a good family or a bad family, whether you've had good parents or bad parents, in a good religion or a bad religion. This man was raised in a true God-ordained religion, but he still could have got the hell over it if he did not understand the core of it. If he did not know the God of the religion and just had the outward. And so, it doesn't matter. The fact is, those things need to be counted loss. You need to count it, he says here, but dung. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. In other words, not having my own standard or status, which is by that which I was raised with, the outward, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that which God recognizes, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In other words, I have thrown it all away that I might follow the decree that promises eternal life. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And I want you to listen to this. Forgetting those things which are behind. That's a necessary step. That's a necessary step. It doesn't mean that we dwell on them all the time. It doesn't mean we talk about it all the time. We need to stop talking about it. We need to refocus. We need to go forward. We need to forget about the past. We don't need to boast in our sin and failures like some do. Just so you can know how bad a sinner I really was. No, that's not going to profit anybody. We don't need to seek sympathy for the problems of our past. We don't need to dwell on it and boil over it and get frustrated over it and why me and why did this happen to me and why was I born this way and why can't I be like everybody else? That's not going to help you a bit. That's not going to make your life any better. The Jews could have spent their whole time boiling and frustrated over the fact that Haman made that decree and why did that guy get a chance to do that and why are we put in this situation? Instead, they focused on the fact there's another decree made. There's another decree made that allows us to stand, to defend ourselves, to fight. And they found joy and gladness. And it says here, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is not a man on this earth that cannot do that right there.
Right.
There's not a man on this earth that cannot forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before and press toward the mark.
Yes.
But if you're going to press toward the mark of the high calling of God, you can't drag any of the old baggage with you. You've got to let it go. If you're going to press toward the mark of the high calling of God, in Christ Jesus, which is salvation, by the way. I've heard preachers trying to use this as though it's the call to preach or this and that. This is talking about being saved. This is talking about being resurrected. He said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He didn't see it as a done deal. He didn't see it as just an easy thing to do. He saw it as something that required his full strength and focus. He was willing to let go of the past sin. You say, well, I was raised this way. Let it go. Forget it. Press on to something higher. We can't use our raising or our past as an excuse. We've got to overcome it. We've got to get armed. We've got to stand and fight. Those Jews could not just say, well, must be God's will that we get slaughtered. After all, God allowed it to happen. We'll just lay down and play dead. That wouldn't have done much good, would it? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What is before? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You can, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, I don't care what your past is, I don't care what difficulties are in your life, I don't care what your past is, what's happened that can't be undone. It doesn't matter. From here, this point forward, you can press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You can become the best disciple that you can become. You can become the best Christian that God is capable of making you. If you're a Lazarus laying at the gate full of sores, you can sit there and say, "Woe is me. Pity on me. Everybody feels sorry for me. What kind of a life is this? There must be no God. What kind of a God would leave me in a mess like this?" Yeah, Lazarus could have done that. What good would it have done? He'd have been defeated by the first decree. Laid down and played dead. Let Haman win. He didn't do that. He was victorious because of the second decree. The decree that allowed him to fight the good fight of faith even in his physical condition. Obviously, the man had a testimony. The rich man knew who to ask to go back and witness to his family. The man had a testimony. When the man heard Moses and the prophets, see, how do you know that? Because that's exactly what was the remedy for the other guys.
Right.
Lazarus wouldn't have been there if he hadn't done that. What Abraham said was, that's how your brothers can come here with Lazarus. If they do that, well, that proves that Lazarus did it. He heard Moses and the prophets. He had repented. The rich man knew that. He knew that's what his brothers needed. We can repent. We can reach forth. 1 Corinthians 6:9. You know, the Corinthians, I'd have hated to have been raised in Corinth. Kind of like being raised in San Francisco or Las Vegas or something. Corinth was a wicked place. And people raised there were affected.
Right.
Just like Lot's family raised in Sodom. They were influenced. And to be raised in Corinth and be tainted with the garbage and the mess of the place and to have been, you know, come under it and been dirtied by it, polluted by it, you think, well, there must not be much hope for me. I wasn't raised in a godly home. I wasn't raised in Sunday school. I didn't get to grow up pure and clean. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That is the first decree. It's not going to be reversed. It says here in verse 11, and such were some of you. There were people in Corinth that had been thieves, had been adulterers, had been effeminate, idolaters, homosexuals. None of those are going to inherit the kingdom of God. He said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. But you are sanctified, means set apart. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You've died to that. That old man is dead. You've been resurrected to a new life. You're a new man now, and you can overcome the decree that was made against you.
Amen.
If you're willing to stand up and fight. If you're willing to arm yourself. If you're willing to forget those things which are behind. If you're willing to press forward to that which is before, you can inherit the kingdom of God. Romans 6:17, he started writing to the Romans, he says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. The apostles didn't write to people who were all raised in a perfectly clean and sanitary and spiritual environment. They were writing to people who had been raised in the mire and the muck of this wicked world, the sin of this world. He says here, but ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that second decree which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. In other words, you were unaffected. You were not a part of what's going on there. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. You want to live under the first decree? You want to live under the work of Haman? The end is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. See, you can't walk the same way that those under the first decree walk. That first decree has to do with ye shall not surely die. Do it. You take the fruit. You be your own God. You decide for yourself what's right and wrong. You make your own rules. That's what Eve was told. That's what Adam and Eve did. That's where the first decree came in.
Right.
You can't walk that way and expect to have the victory of the second decree.
Amen.
It says here, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. The emptiness of their own mind. That means doing their own will. I thought it was interesting how Aaron Carey brought out in his book that the bottom line of Satanism, according to the Satanic Bible, I think it was said by Anton LaVey, do as thou wilt. That's the bottom line. Do as thou wilt. That's Satanism, folks. According to the Satanic Bible and the one who wrote it, that's Satanism. Do as thou wilt. Isn't that what was told in the garden? You shall be as gods. You can do what you will. Do it your own way. Do what you want. Yeah, and you're living under that decree as well. It says here, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him, the second decree, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conduct, the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Not part of him, but all of him. Everything you learned from that realm, everything that you, all that you learned in Corinth, all that you learned there, all that you learned from your bad raising, all that has been poured over you and smeared over you, all the garbage and the mess, you've got to put it off.
Right.
All of it. You've got to hate it. It says here that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You cannot undo the fact of what you were raised with. You cannot undo the fact of what was put in here and what was put in here. What you've heard, what you've seen, the corruption that you've been around, the wickedness of the world. You can't undo that. No man may reverse it. It's done.
Right.
But you can put off the old man. You can put off all the flesh. You can renounce all that. You can resist it. Throw it all away. And you can put on a new man.
Amen.
Which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Maybe you learned how to lie growing up. Put it off. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole, steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, if you were raised a lazy bum, you don't have to stay that way.
Right.
You can learn to work. You can learn to provide for yourself. You can be thrifty and careful with your money and have to give. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You may have had a dirty mouth. You may have had a wicked tongue. But it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We don't need to talk about the old days. We don't need to talk about the old man. We don't need to talk about the details of all the sin and the garbage in this world. The Bible says we need to put on the new man. We need to speak that which is good, that which edifies, that which ministers grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. If you've entered into that second decree, if you've entered into the victory that God has offered you, it's because the Spirit of God has come to dwell in you. And that Spirit that dwells in you is there to quicken your mortal body. To give you a chance to rise up and walk in newness of life and be free from that old life. To break the chains of carnality. And you don't want to grieve that Spirit. That Spirit is your lifeline. It's your down payment. It's your earnest. To grieve away the Spirit that is your seal of acceptance with God is to break that seal of acceptance. It doesn't say here, like a lot of antinomians, it doesn't say, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are unbreakably sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, then grieving the Spirit would have no real consequence. The idea is, don't grieve away the very Spirit that is your seal.
Amen.
It's a warning. It's not a comfort. It's a warning. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I fear that we live with too much of the effects of that old man. Colossians 3:1, if then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Don't seek the things that are below. That goes with the first decree. That goes with that which you are supposed to be putting off. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If it weren't for that fact right there, you would still be under the damnation of the first decree. The only way you got out from under that first decree is by dying, by entering into Christ's death on the cross for you. Entering into that, you were reckoned dead, and you were allowed to walk in newness of life. That delivered you from the first decree. It didn't change the first decree. That first decree altereth not. And if you go back into that realm, you're still under that decree. It has not changed. Hell is still hell. Death is still death. And you will still be subject to it if you live under that first decree. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then she also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. If you are one of the children of disobedience, the wrath of God is on you, and you're under that first decree. In the which ye also walked sometime, when ye lived in them, he says. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Abraham could not undo the fact that he was raised in Ur of the Chaldees. It was an idolatrous society. He couldn't undo the fact that from the time of Noah, things had degenerated. He couldn't undo the fact that his family line, he was called a Hebrew because Heber was one of his ancestors there. He couldn't undo the fact that Heber failed and his children all went into idolatry. He couldn't undo those things. but he could rise up and leave. And that's what he did. Abraham rose up. He left. He followed God. He believed God. He went out after the commandment of God. You know, Jacob couldn't undo what Laban did to him. He couldn't undo what he had done to his brother. He couldn't undo all the mess that he was raised with. But he could go forward. He could wrestle with God and become a prince by wrestling with God and seeking God. And God could change his name to Israel. He could be the namesake, the one who is all the children of Israel, the 12 tribes were named after because he was a prince in wrestling with God. You know, Joseph couldn't undo what his brothers had done. He couldn't undo the fact that his mother died. He was a child of his father's first wife. His father had a special affection for him because of that. Nothing he did. It happened. His mother died, which made him that much more endeared to his father. His brothers were jealous. They were sons of concubines and another wife that was less wanted. He couldn't change that. They were envious of him. They sold him. Told his father he was dead. Sold him into Egypt. That's dirty. He could have lived a bitter, hateful individual. He could have become very self-preserving and self-centered and destroyed himself. He could not undo the damages, but he could overcome them. He sought the Lord. He walked with God. He was faithful to God. And God brought him to the throne. God helped him to rise up and overcome. Think about Rahab. While Achan was ignoring his blessed past and throwing away his future, Rahab was throwing away her bad past and changing her future. You can be raised in a godly home, like Achan was. You can be a part of the people of God. You can have the blessing of God in your life, and you can throw it all away. But you can also be raised in a heathen, ungodly home. You can be raised in the filth of the world and have marred your life. Everywhere she's mentioned, she's called Rahab the harlot. And whatever that indicates was not a good epitaph. Something was just, it was an innkeeper, but the problem is the implications of the New Testament indicate more than that. But it's hard, we don't know for sure exactly what all that meant. The fact is, that was her. That was her title. New Testament, Old Testament, that was her title. That could not be undone. But she could rise up and make it in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. She could rise up and be an example of God's of faith and works in James. Ruth couldn't change her past. She was born a Moabite. Nothing she could do about it. She could change her future. She could become the grandmother of King David. In Corinthians, he said, "And such were some of you." There's a lot of things in life that cannot be changed. Satan has tripped people up. He's ensnared people. He's caught them in his trap. He's hurt them and ruined them and smeared them in many different ways. And the Bible says here of those, "And such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified." And in Ephesians 5:8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." And it says one more thing. Walk as children of light. Listen to me this morning. You had all night to sleep. Listen. You're going to find out as you grow up that there are some real disappointments in life. That there are things in life that either you do or happen to you or whatever the case might be, that you would really like to change and undo. And you wonder why God doesn't allow that. Just like old Ahasuerus, he couldn't undo what he had already sealed. It was a decree. It was sealed. It was done. The past is over. But he could make a new decree. He could stamp a new decree with the king's seal. And that new decree gives you, every one of you, no matter what, the power to rise up. You may not have a glorious beginning, but you can have a glorious end. And you can't change the past, but you can change the future. You can become all that God wants you to become. You can become a vessel meet for the Master's use. You can become, you can find your way into the Faith Hall of Fame in heaven. And the devil's tricks and the devil's snares and the devil's damage cannot stop it. But it says here, you were darkness, now you're light, walk as children of light. This isn't something that happens. Those Jews, that new decree did not make it to where suddenly they were safe. They weren't suddenly safe. They still had enemies. Somebody was still seeking their life. The first decree was still in effect. And if they did not get up and fight, if they did not organize and fight, they would still be slaughtered. Let's stand together. Those of you who are older here have a lot more to look back on that is unchangeable. Those that are younger, you have more future and less past to deal with. But regardless of that, the past can hold some very heavy issues. I thank God that I was given good health. And I hurt for those who were not naturally blessed with good health. But this life is such a vapor. My good health could be the very thing that stumbled me into hell. And there, the fact that Lazarus was laid at the gate full of sores may be the very thing that helped save his life. Eternally. That rich man's riches and faring sumptuously every day may have been the very thing that made his slope slippery into hell. Regardless of all that, we have a future. And the future can be changed because God has made a new decree. I don't know how to stress it any stronger to you. That new decree will do you no good unless you rise up and fight. Any thoughts before we pray? I think Christians spend too much time on the unchangeables, fretting over that which cannot be reversed. You shouldn't waste your time on it. Don't spend time on it. Forget those things which are behind. Look forward. Press forward. Press toward the mark. Now we can learn from our mistakes and we can learn from those things, but we dare not dwell on them. We dare not allow them to slow our pace forward. One thing we can see from the book of Esther is that the Jews were in a better position afterwards than they had been before. All of it was turned around for their good. But that was up to them, wasn't it? Let's pray.